Hey, from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
Well, not really matching my energy there, Darren.
How's it going, man?
I'm all right. I'm all right.
Doing okay? Doing all right? The month of May, we're like two... This is the second episode of SNL. We're in the penultimate, I believe the wording is.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, where is it the time to...
We nearly made it through another season. This was...
This has been a non-productive media presentation.
Episode 19 of season 51, May 9th, 2026.
This program and many others like it on the non-productive network is distributed under a Creative Commons attribution non-commercial derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.
From when he'd previously done SNL. And I did track down which episode it was from. He was a musical guest when Emma Stone co-hosted. We covered that way back in episode 262 of this podcast.
Yeah, like I remember, I mean, of course I remember Emma Stone, but like his music, we'll talk about it, but I...
I didn't go back and listen to this episode because I was like, okay, I'm not going to scrub through all of our old stuff, but you should. You, the listener, should.
Yeah.
Because you are probably much more fascinated in our opinions than we personally are.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to hear ourselves drone on and on, but you listeners, you should listen to us.
You should. And that's episode 262. You can find that on non-productive.com or on YouTube. Just search for non-productive.com on there. Yeah. There's a whole playlist of SNL nerds so you can listen to us to your heart's content.
Oh, so much.
Or just give it a like and then move on with your life.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't feel beholden to have to listen to everything. Just
boost us in the algorithm a bit.
That's all it is. It's transactional. We're not here for love, baby. We're just here for a good time, not a long time. Just give us a 5 stars and be on your way.
That's right. That's right. Leave the money on the dresser.
That's right. Exactly. Wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah. So I have a vague memory that I liked him, that I enjoyed him. I feel like he is somebody I would have had a favorable opinion on, but I don't really remember specifically what I liked about him or what I said about him on the podcast. So.
Okay. Yeah. Like I thought his music was pleasant enough, you know, peek behind the curtain. I still think his music is pleasant enough.
There you go. All right. So pleasant enough. That's our little poll quote for Noah Kahan.
Yeah, I hope I didn't upset all the Noah Kahan heads out there. It was like, no, the guy's a musical genius. He's the next Beethoven. How dare you?
Wasn't there somebody in the news this week, like somebody who said like, oh yeah, I don't really listen to Beyonce because I'm a metalhead, and Beyonce's fans went nuts. They went apeshit on this person. Can you share that story?
I don't remember that, but it sounds possible. Like that's the thing with fandom these days. Like everybody's just so wrapped up in like who they like. Like if somebody what you just said, that doesn't sound like he's saying Beyonce is bad. He's just saying
he was just saying I haven't really listened to her. I'm a metalhead, so it's like a whole different world.
But just saying that to somebody who's a super fan sounds like an insult, but it's not. It's just like, no, that's just not my thing. So
yeah, this is when you remember that fan can be short for fanatic. And
yes,
I'm just like, okay, you know, somebody's not into the thing that you're really into. It's not a personal affront, you know?
Yeah, it's not an insult, man. It's okay. Hey, you know, I'm not into, I don't know, football or whatever. That doesn't mean like I hate football or football is bad. It's just, it ain't my bag, baby. Let's just chill, man. Hey, come on, brother.
You know what is our bag? Saturday Night Live. Comedy. Comedy. Talking about comedy. That's why we're doing this podcast week in, week out for you for the last 8 years.
Toiling away in the comedy mines.
That's right.
Eight plus years and counting.
Getting little chunks of comedy coal and refining that into a comedy diamond for you people.
16 tons, what do you get? Another day older, deeper
in debt. Yes.
That's right. Sold my soul to the company store. Is that it?
Oh,
I owe my soul to
Peter, don't you call me, because I can't go. I owe my soul to the company. I think it's Company Store.
Store, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. I don't know.
It was a spiritual.
Ooh, Lordy.
From back in the day.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise be.
Anyway.
Should
we talk about the current episode of SNL that we got through on? Yeah.
We got to talk. Yeah, Matt Damon, Noah Kahan. Let's talk about it.
Matt Damon back for the third time. So we got our cold open at Martin's Tavern in Washington, D.C. We got Jost as Pete Hegseth.
That's right. Again. Walks in.
Yeah.
Jukebox plays. Tells him to cut the jukebox. Cut it. Punches it like the Fonz. The epitome of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking to Martin's Tavern, which is an actual tavern in D.C. Like, if you go on their Instagram, they point out that, like, SNL made a sketch about him. So,
look at that.
Yeah. So him as Hegseth coming, getting a drink. He's bummed out because no one in the Trump administration likes drinking as much as he does. No one parties.
Yeah. Like, and then he does. Just then we got Matt Damon returning as now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh
and
the gavel. So that's how you know he's a Supreme Court Justice. And yeah, that's Damon played Kavanaugh. I think it was the last time he hosted back in 2019.
It was a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, when the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings were happening. And
Kavanaugh orders 6 Bud Lights and 3 shots of Jameson, also known as a 6-3 decision. Talks about how he knew that Hegseth would be in here because he saw all the women covering their drinks. Talking about starting a war, ending abortion, your body, my choice. And shows.
It's a little more depressing than humorous.
Yes, that's it, exactly. That was the thing about it. Like, I couldn't really enjoy it because it was like, this is all such a bummer. And, like, it's too close to real life here. Like, he had the joke about the new voting district in Tennessee that he approved, and it's like this big squiggly line of a state, but it's like, no, actually that's my field sobriety test. I was supposed to be drawing a circle.
There was a line about bombing stuff, and he was like, oh yeah, no, we only do it every once in a while. We can stop wherever you want to. It's just like drinking. And they agree that the real war is the war against male loneliness. So it's just like all these right wing talking points.
Right. And Kavanaugh does a thing where he mentions all his frat bros, PJ, Squee, Gangbang Greg, Dr. William H.
A few of those names are some of his real friends. I remember because the job I had back in 2019, it afforded me enough time to listen to like podcast for most of my workday or NPR.
Mm-hmm.
And so I listened to most of the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. And I remember, when he was doing all that calendar bullshit and it was like, oh, I couldn't have possibly raped this woman because look at these calendars I kept. I didn't put rape on my calendar. Therefore, I didn't rape anyone. Allegedly.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, sounds good to us. Boom, confirmed.
It's not written on the calendar, so how could he possibly?
Yeah, yeah.
Big rape?
And a devil's triangle, that doesn't have any dirty connotations at all. And I got a big, like, ultra potent dose of the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings, like, mainlined into my veins in 2019 when that was happening.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Do you still, like, wake up at night screaming in a cold sweat?
It's just freaking depressing because my sincere belief is that we ended up putting a rapist on the Supreme Court.
What?
Yeah.
You don't say.
And I guess I should just say allegedly just to protect ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't. Our legal team is maybe not the strongest here at nonproductive.com.
Yeah, they're not the strongest in that they're non-existent. So
yeah, it's one guy who works at H&R Block. That's kind of
right.
What
right.
We got.
That would be a step up.
Like, oh, he's franchised. He's part of the franchise.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to get into the weeds about that. Everybody has already decided how they feel about that guy, I'm assuming. So, well, we also have Aziz Ansari returning as Kash Patel. And
does this bar take cash?
Yeah, and he points out that he made his own FBI bourbon with his name on it, and he says, this is a real thing. So,
which it is. Because
it sounds like something they made up for a comedy sketch.
But it's not, because parody doesn't exist anymore. Parody is reality. Reality is parody. Yeah. We are through the looking glass. We are one.
I did like Joe Sline, as Hank Seth, saying, like, everything's a secret when you're blacked out.
Hey-o.
And we close with them singing the old song, Tub Thumping.
By Chumbawamba. I'll have a drink.
Take a whiskey drink. Take a cider drink. Think a thing. Yeah.
I get knocked down.
Yep.
I like that
it wasn't a press conference. I will
say
that.
Yes,
I did like that it was not a press briefing.
Right. I like that. I like that they put these characters outside of the White House and put them in different scenarios and had them interacting with other people. Because, like, yeah, in real life, these three would probably bro down and act crazy. It's just...
Yeah.
So I like that. I like that they're switching it up. But, yeah, it's just, like, the stuff that they're talking about is so depressing because it's so... real to what's actually happening. It's kind of hard.
And, you know, it's not really exaggerated from reality. So bottom line for me, I didn't think this was very funny, but I thought the performances were very good.
Yes.
So.
Step up.
I mean, it's not another freaking press briefing. So, yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, like it's, I don't know if it's.
I can't really give it a thumbs up without reservation. I'll give it a Project Hail Mary thumbs up.
Ooh, so, Project Hail
Mary. My thumb is pointing down.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Nice. Yeah, guys, you have to go watch Project Hail Mary. Did you see that movie yet? Or
I saw it a week or two ago. Amazing movie. Amazing film. Yeah, I got to see that at the local drive-in here.
Ooh, the drive-in.
So, yeah, yeah.
Nice.
I saw The Devil Wears Prada 2 and then Project Hail Mary. Very strange double feature. But
yeah, very strange. Wow, I didn't know are you a big fan of The Devil Wears Prada 1?
No, not really. I wasn't.
Okay, then why did you? All right.
It's a double feature. It was $12, and I wanted to see Project Hail Mary.
Okay.
And I wanted to get a good spot for it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Far out, man. Far
That's
out.
That's how I roll.
That's how you roll.
That's how okay. I roll. And also, it was like, oh, the drive-in's reopened. I want to go. So.
I gotta go to a drive-in again. Those things must be. They feel like so 50s or like of a bygone era. Just like, oh, take your.
Yeah, they kind of are. They kind of are. I do like that I am relatively close to a drive-in where I am now. I'm like way out in the boonies. I'm very, it feels like it's in the middle of nowhere most of the time, but I am very close to a drive-in, which is nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see cheap double features.
Yeah. So, listeners, let us know. You ever go into a drive-in, take your best girl out to the drive-in, watching the John Wayne pitches? Before you go into
How old do you think our listeners are?
I don't know. I don't know.
It sounds like you think the median age of our listeners is 80.
I'd like to think that they are.
Okay. All right. All right.
After going to the sock hop, you take your best girl down to the drive-in.
So I don't feel like we have much else to say about this cold open.
I like that they're switching, that they switched it up from the standard press conference cold opens, but the stuff that they're talking about here is just such a bummer and so close to reality.
On the nose, it's just
it's too on the nose, and that's the real tragedy.
All right, move on to Mr. Matt Damon monologue.
Matt Damon.
So he talks about it's his third time hosting, and he's promoting a movie, The Odyssey, which is out in a big 9 weekends in mid July.
Right, it's a big Christopher Nolan film. Catch it.
I think we've just got a teaser trailer for that.
I think they put out a full trailer because I know Christopher Nolan was on Colbert and he debuted the full trailer there. So it didn't.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's so nice.
Yeah, there's a longer trailer on YouTube now.
All right. Cool. Cool. And he also talks about how it's the Mother's Day show, but they don't have any cast moms this week. And there's a creepy guy in the audience saying like, oh, I was hoping to meet Marcello's mom.
Yeah, that's kind of a running gag. Marcello's mom is hot. Everybody knows it. Like, I think they even mentioned it at the last Mother's Day episode where they say, like, Michael Che gave her his number.
Yeah, so. and then the kicker at the end is Marcella's mom is there, and I didn't really remember her from last year, so I'm assuming right. that's the same mom he had last year.
Yeah, her like his mom kind of pops up from time to time. I think they actually did a commercial together, like a T-Mobile commercial.
Yeah, I remember Pete Davidson's mom better than Marcella's mom, I guess.
Oh yeah, so. And so that creepy guy in the audience with the single rose.
Let me guess, writer,
SNL writer Jack Bensinger.
Nice. And whenever you need somebody who can deliver a line who's not terribly recognizable, mm. not as recognizable as a cast member, you get an SNL writer, baby.
One of you hideous writers, get out from the dungeon and get out. We need one of you slogs out in front of
Come
the camera.
Come on out, you bridge troll.
Yeah, get ye writers. Yeah.
And we also have Matt Damon delivering a Mother's Day message to all the moms out there. So
right, like it's supposed to be like a personalized message to your mother. Yeah. So if you forgot to get her a gift, you know, you could show her this and be like, "No, I got you, Matt Damon, saying Happy Mother's Day to you." And of course, mm-hmm. it's Matt Damon saying, "Oh, you're the mom. I'm confused because your kids asked me to make a message for their mom, but I mean, you're their sister, right?
You're it like looks... 27, 28, right?
Like, oh, yeah. How old am I? Old enough to know what I'm doing, young enough to do it well.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. Damn, so, Damon.
I mean, Damon's a good performer for this show. He really seems at ease. And yeah. He seems game to do goofy or weird stuff. So I enjoy him when he comes around. And I think he even said when he came start his monologue, he was like, yeah, this is my third time hosting. That seems low, right?
It does. I thought he would have hosted way, like, even he says, like, yeah, I've been around for like 30 years. I've hosted a show like once every 10 years. What's up with that?
Yeah, because, well, I think it feels like more because I think he's one of those people like John Hamm who's just made a million cameos.
Yeah, so. I think so.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think when he played Kavanaugh, maybe he wasn't hosting that show. I didn't look it up, but.
I don't believe he was, but.
Yeah, I think that was just what. Because that was deep into SNL's gratuitous cameo era.
Yeah, that's when we
kind of shut that shit down, so.
Yeah, I'll look it up, but I'm pretty sure that wasn't. He didn't host it. But
he was just a ringer, so.
Yeah, exactly. Ringer. Scab. Scab work. Nice monologue. I thought I enjoyed this.
He knows his way around a monologue. I mean, he's just like, who doesn't like Matt Damon at this point? I mean,
he's so likable.
He's very likable. He's been around forever. He's just a charming guy. He's a good actor. He's done a ton of great stuff. Yeah. I just like seeing the guy. He just makes me smile.
He's a good egg.
Yeah. He takes his work seriously, but he doesn't take himself too seriously.
Mm. You know? Okay, so I'm looking it up right now. So that that cold open where he played Brett Kavanaugh,
yeah,
that is from the season 44, the Adam Driver episode with musical guest Kanye West.
So that's aged beautifully, I bet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Like
that's where we had that clip of Keenan like, oh shit, that is a MAGA hat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right. Well, anyway.
Age like fine milk.
Yep. It's a nice creamy chunky yogurt now.
Practically blue cheese.
Yeah, nearly cottage cheese.
Godzilla movie.
Godzilla movie, first sketch. Speaking of yogurt, running lumpy yogurt.
Yum, yum. So, Godzilla movie. This is a movie that's called Godzilla, King of the Monsters 2, Dawn of the King of the All Monsters. We are taken to an aircraft carrier where Admiral walks into the control room. You know, he's just been woken up. He has a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm.
And he woke me up in the middle of the night for this.
Yeah. And the officers in the control room tell him about this anomaly they spotted in the ocean.
Yeah. Very impressive set, I will say, right off the bat.
Absolutely. Yeah,
set design. Yeah, that's the thought that they threw that together inside of a week is incredible. Yeah,
it really is. They work miracles there. I will say
they really
that.
Do. They really do.
So, so he takes a long sip of his coffee while Mikey tells him what they're seeing, how tall it is, and how deep it is, and it's so shocking that the Admiral spits his coffee in Mikey's face.
Right.
And so.
And then here's the twist. He spits coffee into Mikey's face again.
Yeah, but
right.
What they do is though, Sarah Sherman is telling him more facts about the anomaly while he's drinking coffee.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, well, it's not swimming, sir. It's actually.
And you're like, oh, I bet he's going to spit coffee into Sarah's face now. No. He turns and spits it into Mikey's face again. Comedy.
Right. Because, like, I did look kind of like he did while he was drinking the coffee and Sarah was telling him what she saw. Like, he did, like, wait a beat.
Yeah.
And then immediately turned around and spit in Mikey's face again. So that's when I was like, oh, okay, so everybody's just going to spit in Mikey's face.
So this is the one joke we're going to drive into the ground for this sketch. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
And, yeah.
5 minutes of this shit. All right.
Yeah. So the, you know, the Admiral's frustrated. It's like, oh, can somebody give me a thick green juice that I like?
Yeah.
And, of course, he drinks some more, spits it in Mikey's face.
Yeah. Then he asks for some runny, lumpy yogurt that he likes. And, yeah. And then at one point, Mikey goes over to a back console because he's the only one who could translate Japanese because he had a Japanese girlfriend and he spent like a year and a half in the country or something. There's this long backstory that we don't really need to know.
Yeah, that was really unnecessary. They didn't need to know all that. That was filler. But,
yeah, he could have, like, excuse me, sir, I do speak Japanese. I wouldn't have questioned that. I don't need the whole backstory.
Yeah, that was weird.
SNL has this weird compulsion to give every character in the sketch an arc, and you don't really need that. Sometimes people can just be a straight guy, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, so he goes back to translate, you know, what he hears from Okinawa. The Admiral's like, all right, we're going to be here for a while, people. Everybody hydrate. Everybody get some water. So, and then he gives everybody in the crew bottles of water.
Everybody spits on Mikey. We got like a half dozen people spitting on Mikey.
And the Admiral spits in Mikey's face. Everybody spits on Mikey.
Yep. Mikey's the butt monkey for this sketch.
Butt monkey.
Mm-hmm. So, and, yeah, okay, and my big question, why was this the first sketch?
I kind of get it. It's, you know, it's slapsticky. It's a good loose sketch. Mm. It's not nothing too cerebral about it. It's not thinker. It's just like, hey, spitting in your face. Because people like that, right?
I found it, you know, very repetitive because it was like we're doing this one joke and then we're doing this joke again and then we're doing this joke again. And you don't like it the first two times. By God, you might like it the eighth time we do it.
I mean, I think that the thing they were trying to do is like they knew that was expected that people are going to. I think they were trying to find different ways to do the spit takes in the face. Like,
well, they did not.
Ooh, all right. Like they had him like, oh, well, let's do it with this green liquid and then with yogurt. And then he like waits a beat and you kind of see Mikey kind of getting really worn down by having everybody spit in his face. And
yeah. Like, he's breaking a bit, but yeah, I just didn't find this one very funny at all. Yeah.
I got a few chuckles of it, but yeah, I did think the ending was weak because it ends with everybody saying, oh my God, he's here. And it ends with Godzilla coming out of the ocean, spitting water out onto the aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know about that ending.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah. Not so far. It's
a sketch at best. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say so. So next up, we got ourselves a pre-tape, Mom the Movie. This one was written by Sierra O'Sullivan, Allison Gates, Ken Sublett, Jimmy Fowley, and Ashley Padilla.
Wow. That's like, what, five writers? Wow. My goodness. But hey, it worked out. It's a funny sketch.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a movie made especially for moms. We get to see some kids going home to visit their mom. Kids played by Tommy, Jeremy, Veronica, and of course the mom is Ashley.
Yeah.
She's very good at playing like suburban moms.
She can really tap into that mom energy.
Yeah,
I don't think Ashley's a mom in real life. I know nothing about her personal life, but you know, she's on SNL. I'm assuming she's not a parent as of yet.
But yeah. So like the movie is basically Mom the Movie. It's a movie that's completely devoid of conflict, suspense, and dramatic tension.
Right, because moms have enough stress.
Yeah,
and it's just.
Yeah.
And at one point, like one of her kids is talking to her. He says, "That's a great story. And I love that you told us the races of all the people involved." Wow. Freudian slip.
Ooh, Freudian slip.
You told us the races of all the people involved.
You Mom, where were you January 6th? Mom.
Yeah. And we find out that her husband is straight up Matt Damon.
Yeah, I did like how Matt Damon's like, oh, I want to take you upstairs so we can do a fashion show with everything in your closet. Yeah. And like, I love Ashley's reaction to that because her eyes get so big.
She just lights up. Yeah, she's like, just like, he is so interested in me and my life and the clothes in my closet. So.
Yeah, like she almost turns into like a cartoon character and goes like, okay. And then she gets, she does like, they do like a little fashion show. And we get some testimonials from other moms talking about how much they like this movie. They talk about how
And how about that Mikey Damon?
How about that Mark Damon?
Yeah.
I like how the characters put on name tags so the audience knows who's who.
Yeah. And I liked it when they're doing the closing bit of this fake trailer, they have like even some gags in the fine print. I noticed that in the fine print it said, based on the novel, Mom Had a Pleasant Day.
Yes. Streaming now on Home Goods Plus. And it's funny you mentioned that that final title card, because if you look in the credits, it looks like they put the names of some of the writers' moms in there too.
Oh, that's nice.
Because, I didn't even notice until like I watched it on YouTube and somebody mentioned it in the comments. And if you look in the credits, you see a Beth O'Sullivan, you see a Helen Sublette, and Leora Gates in there too. So I'm assuming the writers put
they're related. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, the writers put their moms in there. How lovely.
That's sweet. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, pretty good pre-tape.
We mine our moms for comedic material, but we honor them by putting their names at the end of the sketch.
Such is the circle of life.
Yes. So this was good. This helped make up for the disappointing Godzilla movie sketch.
Yeah, I thought this one was nice and pleasant. I like how they made a point to mention that they know this movie was made in a way knowing that moms will fall asleep 23 minutes into the movie. Mm-hmm. So around that time, the characters are just moving things around and smiling.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, next on the up and down EKG that is the typical episode of SNL, we have Tough Guys.
Tough Guys. We got Marcelo doing a voice. In this one.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
The dad. They're having a block party. It's Marcelo. It's Keenan. It's Matt Damon. They're doing a block party. Neighbor asks them to quiet down. They're telling stories about how they all got beat up. Everyone got their asses kicked.
Yeah, because like that's the twist, because they all look like tough guys. And it's like, well, everybody's trying to be a tough guy. Like the other day, this guy, he like flicks a cigarette butt on my lawn, and I'm like, hey, pick that up. And he's like, make me. And then what happened? Well, you know, he kicked my ass. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then this guy is yelling at a checkout girl at the supermarket. I was like, hey, stop. Anybody ever teach you some manners? Because if not, I'm going to teach you. You know, and then he kicked my ass. And
so, yeah.
I did like a little few things, like where at one point a guy says, yeah, I was in church the other day, and I say to this guy, peace be with you. And then he kicked my ass. I'm like, father, how dare you? You ruined my daughter's wedding. He put my foot in my ass. I feel like this kind of reminded me of, I don't know why, but like that Christopher Guest, Billy Crystal sketch where, you know, oh, I hate when that happens.
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
Yeah, like the repetition of it.
I can see that in the voice. Yeah, I hated that this was so repetitive because it was another one of those sketches where it's just like, oh, we'll just do this one joke and we'll repeat it over and over and over. And I'm just like, sketches are more than just the same joke repeated multiple times, SNL writers. I don't know where you got this idea that you just repeat a joke for 5 minutes and that's a sketch. It's not.
I know. Like, I mean, I feel like they try to not do that by having the kick my ass parts come in a little sooner. Like the one guy said, oh, I asked my son, what did he want for breakfast? And then he kicked my ass. And then I talked to my wife. I was like, hey, what's wrong with him? And then she kicked my ass.
I was just like, okay, I'm not going to take any more notes on the sketch. If you're not going to come up with more than one joke, I don't see why I should try to come up with fresh observations on your joke.
It did, but I did think like it ended kind of I'll say it was interesting.
It ended badly? Yes.
No, because it ended with Marcello going into this weird thing that happened to him where he talked about how, like, some guy, he got into with a guy, and the guy captured him and put him in a dog cage and gave him a gummy bear.
And he got Stockholm Syndrome, and he was, like, being fed by gummy bears, and he had a chance to escape. And, yeah, it was like
he didn't, because he's a good boy.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, at the end of it, like, he ended up being dedicated to the guy and loving him and saying, I belong to you now. And then he kicks my ass.
Yeah.
That was interesting. I don't know if it was funny, but it was interesting.
I had already kind of punched out by this point. This was 5.5 minutes that really tried my patience. So
it, yeah.
And I don't feel like it had any punchline at the end either. So yeah, this whole lot of nothing for me.
Yeah. It was a bit of a, I guess, slice of life, but not quite, because it does kind of go to some weird places, but yeah, like the walk wasn't worth the journey.
It was a long trip to a not very interesting destination. Yes.
We're on the road to nowhere. Come on inside.
Yeah, exactly. So okay. So we got, you know, so far the sketches, we got a low, we got a high, we got a low. What do we got next? We got Tidy Care Crystals, another pre-tape.
Yeah, it's this one written by Allison Gates, Ken Sublette, Ashley Padilla.
What do we think of this one, Darren?
This one, I like it. I liked it. I liked it.
I was so hesitant. I liked it.
No. I'll get into it. I feel like it could have gone a little further, but I did like what I got.
Okay. So we got James Austin Johnson as a narrator. We got Matt Damon and Ashley as a couple. And he's like, hey, we got this new kitty litter. It's got these color changing crystals to monitor your cat's health. And there's like, oh, this color means this color means that. And then it's like, what does blue mean? And the narrator says, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And he's just very oblique about it.
Right. And then the next day we see that the kitty litter is blue again. And then the couple asks the narrator, who's still there.
Yeah. All right, so I'm still here. Can we ask him what's going on?
And then he tells them blue means that it's human urine.
Yes. The litter turns blue when people pee on it. And then we introduce Andrew Dismukes as their 16-year-old son. Matt Damon accuses his son of peeing in the litter box. And James Austin Johnson, as the off-screen narrator, is kind of like fostering this conflict.
Yeah, like he's egging him on, saying, oh, well, we all know what he's going to do now.
Right.
Peeing in the kitty litter.
Like at one point, he's like casting doubt. If it's not the son, then maybe it's the wife. And he's like, she's just as dumb as the son.
And like, yeah, so it gets to the point where Matt Damon just breaks down and says to his son, are you peeing in the litter box? And the son's like, no, I'm, he's like appalled. And like, I hate you. I hate it here.
Yeah, and he storms out, and then it's and then Matt accuses his wife Ashley of being in the litter box, and then finally it's like, wait, is that your dog? Oh yeah, my bad. Blue can also mean dog.
Yeah, I did like the argument that Ashley and Matt had, where they're where he's like, you know, like maybe you're the one that's doing it. She's like, how? I'm a woman. I would have to squat so low.
Right.
And he's like, makes sense. I haven't seen you pee for days. Yeah. It's like you've never seen me pee. Exactly.
And then like when it wraps up, he's like, blue can also mean dog. And then their slogan at the end is, it's usually the sun. It sounds like I like this a lot more than you. I honestly love this. This is my sketch of the night, sketch of the week, which are you gonna call it.
No, I do like it. I do like the sketch.
No, it's too late for you, Darren. It's too late. You did not praise this sketch sufficiently enough, so I am not going to accept your praise now.
Damn it!
Yeah. So, Son of a... that's how it works. You were not sufficiently enthusiastic about the sketch.
Womp womp. So, no, I just felt like...
treat you like you just peed on some kitty litter.
How? I would have to squat so low.
You're a woman? Wait.
No, I don't know. Okay. I'm trying to say something funny.
Well done, sir.
Yeah,
well
done. It's called a callback. I don't know. I felt like they could have gone further with this. Like it could have gotten darker.
Really? Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it didn't need to. I don't know. I did like the sketch. I mean,
I watched this one a second time. Held up beautifully for me. I enjoyed it just as much the second time, if not more. I really love this. I'm going to say up there with that Roach commercial with Don Cheadle.
Ooh. Oh, that's high praise. I don't know about that. That Roach commercial.
I love me a commercial parody that takes a turn for the bizarre that I can't see coming. And this one delivered that in spades. So
yeah. I mean, that Roach commercial is sublime. I don't know if I can.
It is. I feel like this was also sublime. Again, not praising the sketch sufficiently, Darren.
I'm sorry.
This is going to come up in your employee review, sir.
You're treating me like I said, I don't like Beyonce. What's happening here?
You do not like Beyonce sufficiently.
That's right. Go back, listen to Lemonade.
That's right.
Come back.
Write me a dissertation on her work as Foxy Cleopatra in Austin Powers 3.
And then I'll let you back on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. You know, tell me why Single Ladies was the greatest video of all time.
Welcome to my TED Talk, Drunken Love. So next up, our musical guest, Noah Kahan, does two songs, The Great Divide and Doors, which has nothing to do with Jim Morrison. Or The Doors.
No, Ray Manzarek to be seen.
Robbie Krieger.
He's in like sort of a house set. He's got LED screens behind him. I like the Great Divide song quite a bit. I thought that was a good song. The second song, Doors, I thought was just okay.
Yeah, I thought both these songs were okay. They're kind of like, you know, stomp clap, folksy rockers. Mm-hmm. That I don't know. Like this kind of feels like music. Maybe I don't know. Maybe like young white people like more than I do. It's because like I saw like people kind of comparing it to like, you know, Mumford and Son and maybe even Dave Matthews. It's just like that kind of folksy rock.
I feel
rock.
Like his vibe would have been a good match for like Nate Bargatze when he hosted. I feel like those two would have you know, clicked together. So
that's good. Yeah, I could totally see that. Absolutely.
Okay, but, should I ask you the big question on Noah Kahan, though?
Ooh, hit me.
Does Lorne Michaels know who he is?
This one, I'm
a thinker, right?
This is his second time on.
Yes.
But he is a newer artist.
I feel like
artist.
The answer is possibly.
Possibly
Lorne knows who he is.
See, the only thing, he's like a newer artist, and like that would mean, like, does Lorne know... have a good knowledge of newer artists out there. Like, I mean,
to his musical supervisor, his music supervisor enough to know who the musical guest bookings are.
Okay.
Because Lauren's 80, 81 years old.
He's an older fellow.
We don't know how much he's keeping up with the popular music these days. I'm 53. I'm not keeping up so much with the popular music these days.
Yeah,
so
I'm 49.
How can Lorne Michaels, nearly three decades my senior, be keeping up with all this?
Yeah, I don't think he's listening to like SoundCloud trap rap.
No.
Or anything like that.
Although I would love to see footage of that.
Yeah. You know, you listen to MC Perp, MC Dank, or whatever. He's very good. Talks about the slinging that yayo. I made you cough.
That was very funny.
Lorne, yayo. Oh my lord.
So yeah, I could go either way on if Lorne knows who Noah Kahan is.
Yeah, I think that's a tough. I think he probably would know, but
yeah,
it's.
I'm leaning slightly towards yes because it's his second time on the show. So,
but I mean, does that mean anything anymore? Like it.
Maybe. I mean, you know, maybe Lorne was like me and he had to look up which show Noah Kahan was on before. And he was like, oh, yes, when Emma was last year. Oh, okay, yes.
She's a delight.
Yes, she's a delight. We had her naked on a garbage truck. I remember.
Oh, my God. Oh, right. Okay, that was a sketch. Yes, okay.
That was a sketch. Or, you know, maybe something happened at the after show party.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I double dog dare you, Emma Stone.
I don't know how she unwinds.
After a hard day's work, I like to strip down naked and get in a garbage truck.
Right. I mean, yeah. You know, sketches are inspired by life. Who knows?
Yes. Life imitates art, as we all know.
That's right. So moving on to weekend update with Mr. Colin Joseph, Mr. Michael Che.
Yeah, this one seemed like a long one. This was just, like, supersized.
I think it was a long one, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I checked on...
That's what she said.
hey, I'm the right guy. Okay.
Yeah, penis jokes.
Yeah. Kavanaugh. But yeah, like, I looked on YouTube. This one was, like, 17 minutes long.
Yeah, that's weekend updates usually in the neighborhood of 15 minutes these days. And, you know, we had like three death segments, so that's always going to add on to the length. So,
yeah,
it's like comedy Viagra, you know,
just like blue.
It's a thing that we give it and then it lasts for even longer.
Absolutely. Yes, if it lasts for longer.
That's how Viagra works, right?
I wouldn't know. I ain't got that problem right there. right, listeners. Whoa, Maron. Hey, bada boom.
So I liked the joke early on where Joseph's saying Marco Rubio's name, and as soon as he says Marco, Jay just goes Rubio. Like Marco Polo. It's a dumb joke, but damn, it was funny.
Yeah, I got to chuckle out of that, the Marco Rubio.
Because it was just exquisitely timed. It was like, Marco Rubio.
That was pretty. I did get a chuckle out of that.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. That was fun.
Of course, the Jersey joke. I'm talking about a porta potty that mysteriously exploded in New Jersey. But in New Jersey, that's just the sound of an angel getting its wings.
Yeah, low hanging fruit there, but you know. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? We had the return of Tucker Carlson, Jeremy Culhane's Tucker Carlson.
Yeah,
that's what we do now. That's the goal.
What are you doing? What's going on?
It's just he defined that so beautifully in his first appearance, and this is only his second appearance as the character, and I think it's great. I'm not sick of it yet. I think they're spacing it out just right.
Yeah.
This is probably going to be the last time we see him this season, which I think is fine.
I'm fine with that too. It's him talking about the Met Gala, which just happened. Yes. You know, talking about things like the Rock wearing a skirt. Do you smell what the Rock is cooking? I do.
It's gender confusion.
Yes. Heidi Klum wearing her outfit and like, oh, the woke left got what they wanted. The Statue of Liberty in a burqa. And he does this crazy Amadeus laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's next? Is the Chrysler building going to be the anti-Chrysler building?
Yeah. And then he talks about, he's kind of railing against New York. And Joseph just reasonably says, like, don't you live in Maine? And then he goes off in this tangent about how Maine, the silent E, stands for euphoria. And then he starts talking about the show Euphoria a bit. And he goes into, like, the new Michael Jackson biopic, saying it ends in 1988. So they edited out the part where Michael Jackson was white.
That's right. Shamona? More like shame on ya.
And I think my favorite part was he took a break from his sponsor, Round Bananas, for when you want to eat bananas without looking gay. And they have a graphic of a banana that's shaped like an orange, which is just such a goofy, like Fox News type of idea. I loved it. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. And of course, how about ASAP Rocky at the Met Gala wearing his least favorite color, African American?
Haha, yes.
I thought this was great. I got a kick out of it. You know, I'm glad Jeremy Culhane kind of found his character in this, and they're spacing it out so they're not getting sick of it. And I noticed this part, it didn't lean too heavy on the what are we doing, what's going on here, which has kind of become like his catchphrase a little bit. And they're finding,
they didn't
like,
do too much of that.
Like they're finding different ways to like try to reinvent, but
I mean,
like,
he did the, like that's the goal like a few times, but he has like a few character catchphrases as a character, but it's more about his overall manner. And I'm not sick of any one thing yet. And I feel like if they space that out, like they spaced out Cecily's Jeanine Pirro, we're always going to be happy to see him as that character.
Absolutely. And so this was written by Jeremy with Maxwell Gay, Tucker Floodman, Mars Perricone, and Allie Levitan.
Okay. Well done, all. This would also be a contender for Sketch of the Week for me. But I've already declared the cat peeing thing as Sketch of the Week.
So I
can't go back on my word.
Yeah, you're a man of your word. You can't.
I really am.
Absolutely.
I've got buttloads of integrity, Darren.
Oh, God. What a visual.
I'm classy.
Oh, boy. Next up, Kamikaze Dolphins, which is an awesome name for a band.
It really is. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kamikaze
Dolphins. Yes. Oh, yeah.
They opened up at the Palladium. I saw them open up for Butthole Surfers.
Mikey and Marcello as two wacky characters, which are these dolphins who are like loaded with bombs and they're like being sent to take out ships.
Yeah, so apparently this happened. Like the U.S. wouldn't confirm nor deny that they were strapping bombs to dolphins to send towards Iranian battleships. I didn't even hear about this.
But I did not hear about the story. I instantly flashed on. There's like an old George C. Scott movie, I believe, called Day of the Dolphin, and it has the most hilarious tagline ever. It's like he discovered that he'd secretly trained a dolphin to kill the president of the United States. That's like the tagline on the poster.
What the fuck?
And I've never seen this movie, but it sounds like the goofiest ass movie ever.
Sounds like a Disney, like, wow. All right. Yeah.
No, I think it's like a thriller. It was like done sometime in the 70s. And I don't know. I almost don't want to see this movie because I don't want to ruin my mental image of it.
Yeah, that is. Like, you can't have a thriller with a dolphin. Dolphins aren't.
Yeah, dolphins are not inherently thrilling. They're great. Yeah. They're fun. They're great to see. They're one of the wonders of nature. But a thriller? No, not so much.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Flipper, no!
Yeah.
Can't have that.
I did like the line about how they were awarded with 72 sturgeons in heaven. That was decent pun work there.
Yeah, recruiters came by their reef to recruit them. Before that, their life had no porpoise.
Yeah, okay. I'm not
one, let me bring you down to earth, John.
Yeah.
Before you start phrasing anything.
This was just okay. This was no aerial tramway, obviously.
It wasn't. You saw they were maybe trying to capture the same energy as aerial tramway, but the joke.
It's like trying to grab smoke. You can't do that again at will.
Yeah, you can't. It's like trying to grab a memory and a dream of life.
It's like they say in Sound of Music. How do you hold a rainbow in your hand?
How do you talk to an angel?
Yeah.
How do you talk? You remember that song?
Yes, I do. What was that show? Like In the Heights?
Yeah, or The Heights.
The Heights. The Heights.
It was like, this is like 90210, but in the city.
Yeah, I remember it had Charlotte Ross, who I had a big crush on.
Ooh.
And it had that, what was that guy's name? Like Jesse Walters or something? He was on Beverly Hills 90210 for a hot minute, and he became like an abusive boyfriend to...
Like in real life?
No, on the show.
Oh, okay.
On the show, his character became an abusive boyfriend and like threw Tori Spelling down the stairs.
Oh, Jesus.
And that kind of like... caused some damage to his music career because people were like, oh, your character's an asshole. We don't like you anymore. And he's like, no, that was acting.
Yeah, acting. All right, so yeah. This was came out in, looking it up now, came out in 92, only on for one season. Yeah that was Jamie Walker.
It had that big hit song, and that just didn't translate into success for the show, though.
Yeah, Charlotte Ross, Jamie Walters. Ooh, Alex Desert, the guy from the Swingers. I love that guy.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He was on the 1990 version of The Flash, and then he was on Becker for years.
Yeah.
He played the blind news agent on Becker.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. He's good.
He's fun.
Yeah, like, literally everybody else in this cast.
He's in Swingers. He's got a small part in High Fidelity. Yeah, he's always fun to see pop up and stuff.
He's good stuff.
Yeah.
But, that's The Heights, guys. That's the rabbit holes we go down. Here on the SNL Nerds podcast.
Is the show on YouTube? Because I'm just curious if we can check out this entire series on YouTube.
Because
I can't imagine anyone caring about the copyrights of this swiftly canceled show.
I wouldn't be surprised if you could find The Heights on YouTube. Or maybe at Pluto or something like that.
Yeah. I feel like it's got to be out there somewhere, right?
Okay. Well, it looks like your weekend is made.
A studio would look at that and just be like, yeah, fuck it. Let them watch The Heights.
I don't care.
We're not making any profit on that thing at this point.
Let them have at it.
Let them have at it.
Let them eat heights.
Anyway, so we also had Colin at the end of this ask the dolphins, the kamikaze dolphins, a question. He's like, can you sink a ferry that's a huge financial drain on its owner?
Yes.
I might be a little over Colin Jost ferry jokes at this point.
Yeah, I think they kind of went to this well one too many times. Like the first few times it was funny because it's like, oh, he's dunking on himself and this horrible investment he made. But like now they're kind of.
But he and Pete Davidson bought the ferry like a couple of years ago. Pete Davidson was still on the show when this happened, I think. So
yeah, it was a while ago that they bought this. So like,
yeah,
they kind of beating this dead horse, man.
Yeah, we're just So I'm a little over the ferry stuff.
Yeah, fair enough. So
yeah, no aerial tramway, unfortunately.
No aerial tramway. So next up, we got Jane Wickline singing a song about lateness. This was written by Jane, Martin Hurley, Joe Sunday, Rachel Pegram. And it's about being late and how she's chronically late, but she tells everybody in the song to just calm the fuck down, focus on yourself. What are you going to do? Nothing. I thought so. I'm not even going to text you. Maybe I'll just walk. Like, I'm late. You deal with it.
I'm going to show up 40 minutes late with an ice cream cone. Yeah.
Yeah. Look you straight in the eye, I tell you, the trains were slow. It's not that I don't respect your time. It's that looking at my phone matters more to me than our friendship. That I kind of like that line. And then she introduced the backup dancers who don't show up because they're late.
I like the gag that she was like, oh, here are my backup dancers. And they weren't there. And then they show up at the very end. I thought that was a decent gag. That was a good tag to the sketch. I was confused why the backup dancers were played by extras.
Yeah.
I was like, why are we paying extras when we could just have any two of the female cast members like showing up in showgirl outfits or something?
Yeah, have one of the writers come out and do. Get Jack Bensinger in a unitard.
I just thought that's a weird choice. Why do we have extras doing this?
Yeah, and so, I don't know. This song I thought was whatever.
Yeah, I thought it was awful. I mean, I'm just I don't like Jane Wickline's stuff. I've tried. I don't like her stuff. I find her songs more annoying than funny. Like, here's the thing: I would hate this song if I went to like an open mic and I saw the song being performed. So I really hate seeing it on like a nationally televised comedy show.
Yeah, it's like the songs aren't catchy, and she's not a singer either. She doesn't really.
No.
She kind of like sing talks the verses, and the jokes aren't super.
There's no layer there. So.
Yeah, it's always every time she comes out with the Cassia, I'm like, oh, this is like Bo Burnham, but not as good.
Not as good Bo Burnham. This was three minutes and 40 seconds of my life I will never get back. And I think at the end of the season, I may like go and look at all the Jane Wickline things we've had on update. And I'm just like, add up all that time. And I want SNL to somehow reimburse me for that time.
To give you your time back. Reclaim your time.
I want to claim my time. I want to claim my time like I'm in a presidential debate. Yes.
Okay. I don't know how
they can. Claiming my time. Thank you. Claiming my time.
I don't know how they can give you back time, man. Like, I mean, they don't have a time machine.
Lauren's got a lot of money. He'll find a way.
Lauren, do you have a time machine at your disposal? Let us.
Yes.
Just drop us a line at SNL Nerds on Blue Sky. Let us know. Do you have a DeLorean, a telephone?
Do you have
booth?
A TARDIS?
TARDIS.
You seem like a TARDIS guy.
Yeah. You know, what type of time machine would Lauren travel in?
Ooh, okay, now we're getting into the interesting questions. What type of time machine would Lorne Michaels have?
What is that thing that Kang drives around in the Marvel comics?
Kang the Conqueror?
Kang the Conqueror, yeah.
Ooh, what did he have?
That might seem more of Lorne's speed, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember offhand what type of vehicle Kang had. Was it like a time sled or something? I want to say a sled. But I can't remember if it was like, I can't visualize it. So
I thought you were the comic book guy, John. Come on.
I am, but I'm more of a DC guy than a Marvel guy. And I've only, I haven't. I am embarrassed. You may have stumped the band here.
I stumped the geek.
Yeah, yeah. And they wrote him out of the movie so fast because What's-His-Face was bad news.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What was that actor's name?
Oh, Jonathan Majors, who hosted the show not too long ago.
Yeah, yeah. So.
All right, well. Okay, but yeah, listeners, let us know. Lorne Michaels' means of traveling through time. What do you think? Is he a...
Yeah, I'm going to say TARDIS. TARDIS just feels right to me. I'm just going to go with my gut there. Okay.
What do you think?
He might have like an old school time machine, like in The Time Machine by the George Powell version. I could see that.
Mm. Ooh, yeah. Fancy.
Yeah, the H.G. Wells time machine. So. Yeah.
Entertaining company with it. Like, well, you know, I like to hop back in time.
Right. You know, I mean, sometimes I go back, I romance Mary Steenburgen, I defeat Jack the Ripper. It's what I do.
It's what I do, you know.
It's what I do.
Things like that. Nothing that will totally mess with the flow of time, of course.
No. I won't upset the space-time continuum. I tried that once, and Kenan Thompson ended up staying on the show for 23 years.
I said to myself, never again.
Never again. Never again.
Tune in next week for Lorne Michaels, Time Traveler.
Lorne Michaels, time traveling comedy producer.
Time traveling producer. Lorne Michaels, time traveling comedy producer. On Fox.
I like the idea of Lorne Michaels just traveling through time.
Yeah, give him a cool theme song. He's traveling through time.
And so Lorne Michaels finds himself trapped in the past, hoping each time that his next leap would be the leap home.
Quantum Lorne.
Quantum Lorne.
We did it! Quantum Lorne.
He is accompanied on this journey by Bill Hader, a hologram that only he can see.
Oh my god, Quantum Lorne.
Quantum Lorne. Let's type up that pitch. Let's get that greenlit this summer.
Get it? Guys, if anybody at Peacock is listening, and I know you are,
yeah.
Quantum Lorne.
Quantum Lorne. This is, look, the Quantum Leap show, the revival you tried a couple years ago, didn't quite work, only lasted a couple seasons. Quantum Lorne, that's a $1 million idea right there.
Right. Get on it. I know you guys at Peacock don't have any money, but you must have enough to make Quantum Lorne happen.
Quantum Lorne. I want to see it. Yes.
Yes. But, yeah, Jane Wickline, kind of meh. And Weekend Update.
Oh, very meh. Very meh. Kind of meh is being kind, I think.
I was being kind. I'm being generous. I'm trying to be benevolent.
I just don't think she belongs on the show. Yeah.
She's getting better in sketches, but yeah, like this keyboard Casio stuff. I'm good.
Like when you've been on the show for 2 years and you're still just not, you're still only so-so at best, I just want to see him, you cut him loose.
Fair enough. Yeah,
that's me. I'm tough but fair.
You're tough but fair, of course. Yeah. So next up, we got Substitute Teachers Goodbye.
Yes.
This one, we have Matt Damon as a substitute teacher. Last day of school, last day of class. And, you know, he just thanks the class for, you know, being like a nice, well-behaved class, and like, you know, because he knows, oh, substitute teachers, you know, sometimes the class can give you a bit of ribbing, and you guys are super cool and nice, and I appreciate that. So for the last day of class, I figure, you know, we just have a little treat and, you know, just have a nice little dance party.
Yeah, I'm going to play some music so you can dance, and he starts just dancing awkwardly in front of everybody, and none of the students get up to dance. Everyone is just glued to their seats.
Yeah, this sketch was interesting because, like, it's literally it's only Matt Damon doing anything for, like, the first, you know, good chunk of the sketch. Like, everybody
Matt
else.
Matt Damon is 100% driving this sketch. This sketch, it works or fails on his performance.
Yes. And, like, all the students, all they do is just stare at him, look at him awkwardly. No one's saying
silently. Moving. Yeah, nobody says a word.
And it's just like him doing dance moves. He does like a little MC Hammer move. It's like, oh, remember MC Hammer? Can't touch it. This is for my day. You guys, at one point he points to Cam and he's like, hey, come on, man. We all know you can dance.
Yeah, just a little bit of random racism there. We all know you can dance.
Yeah.
And I did like the look on Cam Patterson's face. Like, dude, what the fuck? What the?
He points to, like, Sarah. He's like, hey, they're going to bust us some bat mitzvah moves over there. Hey.
Yeah. I mean, I like the line, shake your booty with the substituting.
Yeah.
That got a laugh from the audience. Yeah. But this sketch lived or died by what he did. And I love that they had so much trust in Matt Damon to let him just carry this sketch by himself.
Yeah. It's just,
and honestly, him. I wish they'd gone a little further with that. It ends with him sort of just, he's realizing, okay, this isn't going over. I'm just going to leave. And he awkwardly leaves the classroom.
Right.
And then we have all this stuff with the students afterwards where, like, everyone has to get a line. And I thought that just dissipated the energy.
I did like the turn of, where Sarah finally says to Dismukes, who's one of the guys, like, hey,
yeah,
Rick, well, wasn't that, that's your dad, right?
It's
like, yeah, that was, I thought that was a nice turn, but yeah, maybe she just should have just ended with that.
I wish, yeah. So it's sort of like what I was saying before, where it feels like everybody has to get a line or everybody has to get some character development. And that's what it really felt like. It's like, oh, well, we got to give Cam a line. We got to give Jane Wickline a line. We got to give Veronica a line. And no, you don't have to. Like, I wish they just had been bold enough to let everybody be silent, and then maybe just one person says, like, Rick, your dad is weird. And that was it. I think that's all you needed.
Yeah, and just means to be like, yeah, I know. And that's I felt like that whole part with this class talking went on a little. Yeah, I agree with you on this one. Like, it went on a little too long, and it did kind of take away from the sketch. They should have just ended it. Should have just cut it sooner.
So, I mean, that lowers it down like maybe half a letter grade for me. You know, it goes from like an A to an A minus, I would say.
I'll give you that. Yeah, I did like the sketch quite a bit because,
Matt
Damon does give it his all. He really...
He does. And, I mean, that's what I love to see from a host. I love to see a host just throw themselves into it. And, yeah, and he's kicked ass enough on the show that they knew he could handle this. And I actually watched this a second time just before we started recording. And there is a nice subtle foreshadowing when, like, Matt Damon is walking around the classroom trying to encourage people to get up and dance. When he passes by Dismukes, he like puts his hands on his shoulders and he's like, hey, champ. And I was like, oh, that's a nice foreshadowing that he is actually Dismukes' dad in that sketch.
Oh, so, I didn't even notice that.
I mean, yeah, there's no way you'd notice it the first time you watched it. But when you're watching it back with the knowledge that he is Dismukes' dad, you're like, oh, look at that. They're setting it up. So I see you, SNL writers. I see you.
I see you, son.
Yeah, or maybe you added that in rehearsals, or I don't know how SNL works.
I don't know how that works.
I don't know. They make it all up as they go along, right?
I think so. I think it's just that's what improv is, right? Just kind of fly by the seat of your ass.
Yeah, and it just magically turns out to be an hour and a half every week.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how TV works.
Yep. Yeah. So I enjoyed this sketch. We're coming out strong in the last half of the show, I feel.
Yeah, last half is closing out a lot stronger, for sure, I'd say.
Yeah.
And speaking of closing out, we end on the final sketch of the night, The Crumbling Marriage of Two Auctioneers. This one's written by Sarah Sherman, Dan Bulla, Tucker Floodman, and Maxwell Gay. This one I've noticed a lot of people are talking about on the socials.
I saw one of my Facebook friends was like, oh, yeah, this was the only good sketch in the show. And I don't agree with that. There were several sketches I liked in the show, but I feel like this was a standout. It's a very funny idea. It's almost impossible to describe because it's so much in the performances.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, so basically, when you hear the description, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's Matt Damon as an auctioneer comes home to his wife, Sarah Sherman, who's also an auctioneer. And, you know, he walks in and they argue that he's coming home late. And it's like, oh, you said you'd be home by 8 p.m., 8:30, 8:45. Meanwhile, you got a lovely woman here waiting for you. She's lean and mean, not 81 pounds, not 81 pounds, 81 pounds. And so it's like a lot of, you know, like micro machines, fast talking, talk as they argue about their crumbling marriage.
And by the way, kudos to Wally and the cue card department, because this
would
be a hell of a sketch for them to do.
Oh my God.
You got to be on top of it, but this is so dependent upon the speed because they're auctioneers. So I can't imagine how fast they must have been turning those cards. I would like to see some behind the scene footage of Wally or whoever the cue card people were for this sketch, because wow.
Yeah, this is, I will say, this is...
Screw the stairs sketch from last week. I don't want to see the behind the scenes on that. Show me them turning over the cue cards rapid fire.
Yeah, because this is way more impressive verbally, and like the dexterity you need to have to get out all these words in such a fast patter, like an auctioneer, like, you know,
like there can't be any hesitation.
No. Like, Sarah really impressed me in this performance. I'd say she was like,
and I like that they, you know, they're fighting as auctioneers, and they both say they want a divorce at the same time. And then we have Marcelo Desmukes, Jeremy, and Tommy come in as their four kids. They're all in like feety pajamas.
Yeah,
and he's like, "Who wants to spend Christmas with Dad? Who wants to spend Christmas with Dad? You get a Nintendo. You get this. You know.
And,
yeah." He's like, you'll be here, but there'll be less rules. And Matt Damon accidentally said more rules. I'm not going to hold that against him. It's fine. You made a mistake.
I know. He's only human.
He's only human. Despite appearances, Matt Damon, only human.
Yeah. You think he's Jason Bourne? No, he's a human man.
He is a human man. And then we have James Austin Johnson coming in as a neighbor, Frank. And he's like, he's making an offer on Sarah. He's like, oh, you know, hey, if you're single, and he starts describing the things he would do to her.
Oof. Yeah. He, in front of the kids, this guy.
Yeah. I mean, this was very funny stuff, and it's such an out there idea. I really love this one. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why, like, this kind of reminded me of like a sketch. It kind of had like an old school vibe to it. I don't know why, but it's reminding me of, like, a sketch. That. Yeah, it kind of reminded me of a sketch maybe they would have done like in the 70s or something, like the concept. Mm-hmm. Like, I could have seen Dan and Lorraine totally do this sketch back in the day.
Oh, Dan Aykroyd would have been all over this because, like, you know, yeah, rapid talking weirdos, that's his jam.
No, like, Aykroyd would have eaten this thing up alive.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, the night ended strong. This was a very impressive sketch.
If you told me this was a sketch that was written in 1978 for Aykroyd and Gilda Radner or Lorraine Newman, I would have 100% believed you.
Yeah, right? It has that vibe.
It has that vibe.
Of like 70s SNL. So I really did.
Maybe partly because of the costuming too, because I'm looking at the thumbnail of Sarah in her blonde wig, and it looks like it's almost like a Farrah Fawcett type do. So maybe that's what we're getting to.
Yeah, that's true. But
Wig department, on your game, as always. Come on. Yes. Like, let's give it up for the wig department. Come on. Hair and makeup, you guys kick ass every single week.
Getting wiggy with it. But but yeah, very impressive way to end the night, I thought.
Yeah. Always nice to see the men strong.
Overall,
we got good nights. We got Aziz Ansari in a Colonel Knowledge t-shirt.
Oh right, the Colonel Knowledge. What was that?
Yeah, have you seen that movie?
I think I saw it once. I might have had to see it for like class or something.
Jack Nicholson, Art Garfunkel, Candice Bergen, and Margaret. I haven't seen it in years. I think it was just recently added to the Criterion Collection.
What a lineup.
It was written by Jules Pfeiffer, if I remember correctly. Mm. And yeah, it's just like, Art Garfunkel's like the sensitive guy, and Jack Nicholson's like the Lothario, and it traces them over the years. They're both like in love with Candice Bergen.
Of course.
And wackiness ensues.
But yeah, I kind of remember that one. It's about like, men and women and relationships type of film.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And how fucked up they all get.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the episode. Matt Damon, Noah Kahan, not a bad episode. I like this one a little bit more than last week's, I'd say.
Oh, I definitely like this one more than last week. I mean, this one had at least two or three solid sketches. I mean,
you know.
The mom movie trailer I thought was very good. Auctioneers was very good. Tidy Care Crystals was very good. And I think Substitute Teachers Goodbye were good. That's a good show in my book. If you do three or four good to great sketches, that's a solid episode of SNL.
Yeah, I dug it. I also noticed, like, I think somebody mentioned it online, that it's interesting how Ashley Padilla was in two of the pre-tapes but none of the live sketches, which I had to go back and look. It's like, oh yeah,
wow, can't say I noticed that. What do you know?
Yeah, that's weird. That's,
wow. I'm gonna go Owen Wilson with that. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Did not know that.
Yeah, like I had to go back and think. I was like, oh yeah, she wasn't in any of the live sketches. Huh.
This is the thing with the cast being so huge is I don't necessarily always notice when somebody's having a really light show.
Mm. Very so, true, yeah. But, I mean, yeah. She's in two pre-tapes, and they were, like, two of the best things of the night, so.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley Padilla's a fucking machine, man. Mm-hmm. Come on, you throw her the ball, she's going to hit it out of the park, man.
No doubt. But
she's been the standout of this season, I would say.
For sure. But that's that's what we think. What do you guys think, the listeners?
Yes.
So we put the word out on the blue skies at SNL Nerds, and let's see what we got here. Hey, our good friend Lee Hot the Lion saying, "Hello, fellow nerds. This was an episode of two halves. I just love the awkwardness of the teacher sketch, and the fact that everyone played it straight was what made it for me. I also loved nitpicking a Navy sketch. And for all purposes, this one wasn't too bad, detailed-wise. Love you guys."
Wow. Was the Hot He Lion, was he in the Navy?
I believe so. I believe he's of, I think he's mentioned before he's in the services, so.
Oh, okay. Like, so currently?
I believe so. Thank you for your, well, yeah, I believe so. But either way, thank you for your service, sir.
Yeah, okay. He's wearing a hat in his profile pic, but he's not in uniform.
Oh.
So, okay. I'd forgotten that about him. So, yes. Thank you for your service, sir.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed that the uniforms in the Godzilla sketch were a little wonky. I don't know if those were intentional changes, because I know you can't duplicate military uniforms precisely.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be, like, I think, demonstrably different, like, legally. And the flags on their sleeves were, like, sideways.
So, oh, yes. I noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay.
So I don't know. You know, like when somebody has like a bunch of medals or something, there's always something like a little bit off on those medals. And if you're like really in the military, you can probably spot that. To an ignorant civilian like me, it's just like, oh, lots of medals and ribbons. Yeah.
That's how you talk. When you...
That's the tone of voice I use when I watch a movie, too. That's why I have to go to the drive-in by myself.
Duh, medal and ribbons.
Yeah, that's a ribbon.
Duh.
Duh.
Oh, boy.
All right, let's see what else we got from Drew S. Rod. Says, "Greetings, SNL nerds.
Ooh.
This ep was just okay. Kitty Litter pre-tape was sketch of the night, and update was good as usual. Speaking of, something struck me while watching update. Jane has officially been on the cast twice as long as Emile Joaquin, Chloe Trost, Aristotle Atari, and Molly Carney. Why?" With two question marks.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, that's depressing.
Yeah, I know Jane Wickline has her fans, and I don't want to sound like a total hater, but, like, I truly do believe all the people that were
Be a hater. Come to the dark side.
I need to stay in the light. I can't. I want to be a good boy. I want to be a good boy.
Feel the hate flow through you.
Oh, God. Okay. No, but like I know, like, people, I'm starting to enjoy Jane more, a little bit more in sketches, but like all the people that were mentioned, Emile, Chloe, Aristotle, and Molly, I feel like they're all better than her now.
Yeah. I agree.
They're all stronger performers. And the fact that,
Michael Longfellow.
Yeah. Don't.
I wish he'd stuck around.
Don't even get me started on that. Like, Longfellow was. Yeah. That really bothered me when Longfellow got that. Like, really bummed me out.
Like, Chloe Trost and Longfellow were two cast departures that really, really shocked me, because I was like, what? They're kicking ass. What the hell is going on?
Yeah. And like, I.
When I see somebody who's just kind of barely making it, like Wickline, I'm just like,
Yeah. Like, and I think that's the thing, because, like, all these people, like, you know, Longfellow, Trost, Emile, like, they were all ready to go. So. To let them go and keep somebody who's still, like, figuring it out, who isn't, like, at the level that they were already at, like, from the get-go, that bothers me.
I don't get it. Yeah, and it bugs me, too. And, I replied to Drew from the SNL Nurse account and just quoted from Wickline's Wikipedia page.
Oh, boy.
Reminding people that her mother who early in her career worked at SNL as an assistant to Lorne Michaels from 1987 to 1990, and later as a production manager at MTV in the early 90s. And her father is comedy writer Matt Wickline, who was part of the original writing staff of Late Night with David Letterman. So, yeah, who knows? Who knows why she's still around?
It's Tori Spelling all over again.
It's, yeah, it's, you know, Nepo babies. They're everywhere.
Nepo babies!
I mean, look, I'm not saying Nepo babies are inherently bad. Sometimes they're great. It gave us Please Don't Destroy. Two-thirds of Please Don't Destroy. You know, Foot in the Door and so much more.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges is cool.
Jeff Bridges. Who doesn't love Jeff Bridges? He's the dude. Come on.
Dude, I mean, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, on the other side, you get a Gwyneth Paltrow.
You get your Dakota Johnsons and what have you. Boof.
You know, honestly, I haven't seen Dakota Johnson in enough stuff to like her or hate her.
So the stuff I've seen her in, I'm like, the same. Yeah. She's not, all right, she's trying, I think. All right.
Jury's out for me. I haven't seen enough to like really judge her one way or the other.
All right. Well, I mean, she was the host twice, and both of them were, especially the last one was.
She hosted twice? Holy
cow. Yeah, she hosted the show twice.
That seems wrong.
No, it's correct. I mean, it's wrong morally, but it's correct factually.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's wrong morally. Because I remember she did that meet cute thing with Please Don't Destroy, and then she also did the thing where the Foot in the Door and so much more. So yeah, that is at least two shows if she did two things with Please Don't Destroy. They kind of blended together into one for me. So
yeah, no, she hosts. I'll look up the years, but I definitely know she hosted like twice. And the last time
I couldn't tell you anything she did on the show, but that's more a reflection of my Swiss cheese brain,
right?
Than anything. Right. Yep, another Quantum Leap reference for you folks.
Quantum Lorne coming at you. Right. Our good friend Nick Store saying, it's hard to nail why this one didn't shine. I enjoyed most of the sketches, but it just seemed like they were trying out rejected sketches from the last 10 years. Jane's song disappointed. Beat My Ass took too long to get there, and the kitty litter sketch didn't get dark enough.
Oh, that's kind of what you were saying, right?
Yeah, like I kind of felt like they were going to go to like a darker place, but maybe they felt like they didn't need to, but... And I feel like there was more meat on the bone that they didn't quite.
I mean, it's no Don Cheadle as a roach, you know, fucking the guy's wife, but.
No, it's not.
I gotta rewatch that one. Yeah.
Oh, that thing is.
I hope that one's still online. That should be in the permanent SNL Hall of Fame.
It belongs in a museum.
So do you. All right. Vax Novier. At Blue Sky says they really need to work on timing out the show. There were too few sketches this week and so much time wasted between the inside bits on Weekend Update, two musical numbers that, while good, felt like they were going on forever, and the Keenan Marcello sketch, I guess they mean the Tough Guys, was it worth bringing Aziz back? And they continue. And the cast reached a new low for the season. Ashley got completely shut out of the live show, despite her Duke Pig pieces. But at least Jane got her 5 minutes, right? Ooh. Ooh, the shade. I love it.
Ooh, the tides are turning on Jane.
I was just in a funk between the first song and the last sketch. When James Austin Johnson appeared at the end, I audibly said, about fucking time. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, ooh. Vax definitely has their favorites here.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, our good friend Manette Moratti saying, aside from the cold open, the pre-tapes, and the last two sketches of the night, this episode was disappointing. To add, Weekend Update went way too long that by the time Jane's segment came, I had tuned out.
I mean, that's my normal reaction to Jane Wickline segments.
Yeah, I will admit, when Jane, the first time I watched it, when Jane came on, I did get up to use the bathroom. I did do that. I mean,
I don't know if I've ever confessed this. Okay. On the podcast. So, okay. You know, everybody, I've got my favorites and I've got my least favorites in the cast.
Yeah.
So when we're running through the opening credits of the show, I occasionally will make gestures at the cast members that I do not like.
Oh, flip the bird.
Certain fingers are extended. Yes.
Oh, yes. Dear.
So there are two cast members who get that reaction from me right now. I don't really do it to Colin Jost anymore.
I think I know who you do it to.
Which I think is growth. I think there that's you growth.
You're maturing, yeah. Man. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I am. I am.
But I think I know who you, if I had to put money on it, I think.
Lay it on me. You know me.
Keenan and Jane.
Not so much Keenan.
What?
I do not do Keenan consistently every week now because wow. he's not appearing as much, and therefore he's not pissing me off quite as much.
Who else? Then? Marcello and Jane.
Not Marcello and Jane. No.
Oh, strike two.
Yeah. This is somebody I've aggressively turned against over the course of this.
Oh, week. Cam and Jane.
Cam and Jane.
Oh, okay.
Cam Patterson, no relation.
And no relation.
Jane Wickline.
Right.
Very much a relation.
I forget he's there sometimes at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, he's not in the show much, but when he's on, he pretty consistently pisses me off. And, you know.
Yeah.
Also, just the stuff he said off stage, too. So.
Yeah. That's not great.
Yeah. He reached F that guy status for me a little while ago.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right. Let's see. But I guess you don't ever do that then.
You're
more mature than me.
Yeah. You know, I think we're all just trying our best and we're all God's creatures. And I want to give everybody a chance to, you know, show their worth and do what they can. Because, you know, love is love. And I love everyone. And I'm the good cop.
Yeah. I feel that way, except for a few people. Okay. Yeah. A few people. I'm like, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. All right. But so I did get up to use the bathroom just because I know when I see Jane come out to do a song, I know what to expect. I know the beats. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when I rewatched it I watched it for the first time, I guess. Yeah. I was right. I was like, yeah, this is, I totally.
Yeah. I was like, I don't need to rewatch this. I'm not going to see anything in this that I didn't see the first time around.
It's like, yeah, I know what this is going to be. I know what it is. And I was right.
Yep. I know what to expect. And she's very predictable and therefore. Yeah. And when you know what the joke is when it's coming, it's not funny. It's like, you know, somebody spit into Mikey Day's face for the 15th time. So.
Patooey. Oh, and also, yeah, Dakota Johnson did host twice, once in 2015 with musical guest Alabama Shakes, and again in 2024 with Justin Timberlake.
Wow. Okay. Those two just blended together in my head.
Oh boy!
Because wait, when was the first time? 2017, you said?
15.
2015. Okay, so that was before we were doing the pod. So that's why.
That's probably. Why. I don't think we covered it. Yeah, we didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, we wouldn't have.
No.
Okay. Anyway, we got some more reactions from
Steven. Yes, Steven M.
Yes.
Steven M. saying, "I think I enjoyed seeing Matt Damon over the actual show. Lots of repeats tonight, serviceable, but nothing stand out."
What do we repeat?
I mean, Tucker Carlson? But, I mean, it's been a while since that. Like,
I don't feel like it's a lot of repeating sketches, so I'm not quite sure. Mm-hmm. Or do you just mean things we're repeating in the sketches, like lots of spit takes and...
Oh, and Kick My Ass?
Yeah.
Maybe? Yeah.
Stephen, I'm not entirely sure what you mean there, so... Yeah.
Yes, clarify for the class, Stephen.
Yeah. All right, we got Deb at just-me-debra-g at Blue Sky. The auctioneer sketch just before the end of the show on tonight's SNL was one of the best skits ever.
Oh!
How they got through all those lines without screwing it up, especially as fast as they had to say all that, was amazing to watch. Great idea for a skit. Extremely well executed. A new fave. Wow.
Oh.
Okay, so Deb's a super fan of the auctioneer sketch.
It's the more you watch it, the more you realize how impressive it is verbally for them to say all that stuff. It is pretty impressive. I was like, oh yeah, this is pretty great.
But Laurel, ooh. Laurel Bush says it seemed flat to me. The auctioneer sketch was impressive, but it wasn't funny.
Mm.
I did enjoy Noah Kahn. Wow.
Okay. Interesting. Wow.
So in your face, Darren, you said it was impressive.
I guess
it was impressive, but it wasn't funny.
Okay, well, I guess fuck me then.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Laurel was just listening to what you said and was like, no, actually, you're wrong, and here's why.
How did you know what I was going to say, Laurel? You hear
Laurel is psychic. obviously.
Oh, she's like Jean Grey.
Just yeah.
Read my mind. Yeah. Read my mind, Charles.
So, opinions all over the place on this episode. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. Some people are just like, I feel like it went up and down a lot, but that's an SNL app for you.
It is. And finally, we have Carmel Pretzlaw saying, love the Kamikaze Dolphins and Weekend Update and the Marco Rubio bit. Delighted to hear Matt Damon's Kavanaugh mention his friend Squee, but I wonder if he's still in touch with Donkey Kong Doug. Audience was loco for Noah Kahn. Harry Styles fan level enthusiasm. Good performance, not my thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I did notice that when Noah Kahn came out, like the audiences were like kind of going pretty wild for him. I didn't know Noah Kahn had it like that. That like people go like gaga for his shit.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like for a lot of the musical guests, like there's going to be a lot of like hardcore fans who are filling out the SNL audience. Cause it's a chance to see one of your favorite musicians play a couple songs for free. So
yes. Or the con heads, the conaholics. Yeah,
exactly. So I get it. As you know, as long as they don't get like too loud and yelpy, like when like somebody like BTS is on.
Oh, that was bananas.
Yeah. When it's like a boy band and the audience is like, I don't like it when it's disruptive to the show, but other than that, go nuts.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not against fun. You kids have your fun. Just
you kids have fun. Yeah.
Just do it in a nice, respectful way.
Yeah. And do it, you know, quietly so you don't disturb the neighbors.
Quiet, respectful fun. End it at a reasonable hour.
Right.
Don't go above a yell. Keep it at a whisper.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're reasonable gut men. You know,
we're two middle-aged men. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, excuse me. I'm going to have my nice warm tea and hot milk. Mm-hmm. Watch the Rockford.
Get my smelling salts.
Yes. Curl up on the couch. Watch the Rockford Files reruns and be in bed.
Ooh, Rockford Files is coming back with David Boreanaz.
Ooh.
Yeah. Are we excited about that? I don't know.
I didn't watch the original Rockford Files. I don't have
James
a dog
Garner. You can't go wrong with James Garner, man.
He's good stuff. He's good stuff.
He's great stuff.
And I looked it up, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, all episodes of The Heights are on YouTube right now.
Yes!
All 13 episodes. Just all waiting right there.
Okay, we're doing a marathon. Marathon. Come on.
Let's do it.
Come on.
Party at my house.
Let's do this. Let's find out the other songs they had besides How Do You Talk to an Angel. I know they had to have others. They had 13 episodes to fill.
That's right. There's got to be more songs there.
I like this plan. I'm excited to be a part of this. Let's just marathon The Heights.
Let's do it, guys.
You know what? I finished the second season of The Pit. I need a new show to watch. It's going to be The Heights from 1992.
From the pits to the heights.
From the pits to the heights. And then Quantum Lorne. We're just going to have a big 1992 party.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
It's going to be fun. So, So next to last episode of season 51. I mean, we've pretty much peaked, right? We can't really get any higher than here. Matt Damon, big, massive movie star. What can we do next week?
Girl,
that could possibly top this.
Girl, we couldn't get much higher. Baby, light my fire. We're going higher because on the final episode of the season of SNL, we got Mr. Will Ferrell.
Nice.
We got Sir Paul McCartney.
Oh. Mm. Ooh, we got Sir Paul.
Yes, or as us nerds know him, James Paul McCartney.
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh, yeah.
Because a real Beatles nerds would be like, actually, did you guys know Paul is his middle name? His actual first name is James. And then you never get invited back to parties.
No, you don't, because they're just like, I don't want the pedantic music nerd here.
Can you leave, man?
Yeah, can you leave? You're bringing everybody down. You're harsh and Armello.
Creeping out the girls, bro.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get laid with that.
No. Like, oh, he knows obscure Beatles knowledge. Oh, I have to have him.
oh no. Here, let me just start removing my clothing now.
Oh, he knows all the B-sides to Abbey Road. I'm so wet.
I wasn't going to go there, but you did, sir. I did.
And that's our episode, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast. As always, you can follow us on the Blue Skies at SNL Nerds, and you can follow me on all the socials at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible, and you can listen to this madness on the YouTubes, on our YouTube page. Donate to our Patreon, non-productive.com.
Help us keep it going. Help us support us. You know, rate and review the show. That helps us out. That's, you know, boosts us up in the algorithm, all that good stuff. You know, like the episodes on YouTube. Tell your friends. All that stuff. I mean, like, yeah, help us help us keep this going.
Help us and, help you.
Help us. Help us. Help me. Yes. Help me to help you. Help me to help you. Help me to help you.
Help us, Obi-Wan, your only hope. Oh, where can find people find you on the socials?
Oh yeah, yeah. I didn't plug my stuff. Yeah, you can find me at Trumbull Comic. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L and then the word comic. That's all about me. You can reach out to me and be like, "Why do you hate on Jane Wickline so much?" And I'm like, "Well, because she's not very good." And you'll be like, "Oh, okay."
Oh man, you're gonna get the Wick Hive is gonna come after us now. This is maybe this is how we get famous. This is how we get popularity. The Wick Hive comes after us, and then we get that. Then we see a boost in our streams.
Maybe, yeah. Okay, that could happen. Yeah,
yes. Sure. Yay, conflict!
Yay, conflict! Yeah. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
That sounds exhausting. I don't want to have a feud with somebody.
Come on, don't you want to start a beef? Start a beef.
Like a mock beef with somebody.
Hey, I guess so. Didn't we try to start a beef with another SNL podcast? That
I feel like we did, but yeah, the problem is I don't really listen to any of those. Nothing against them. It's just that, yeah, like we do this, and that's pretty much enough for me.
Okay, fine.
I'm not listening to like other SNL podcasts on top of this. That seems like excessive.
Okay, so if any other SNL...
You've guessed it on a few.
I have guessed it on a few, yes. Yeah. I'm out there. I'm out in these streets. Yeah. Holler at your boy.
I mean, you know, you like doing that, right?
Yeah, I like talking to the people and being one with the folks. You know, shaking the hands of the everyday man and what have you. I love it.
Shaking hands, kissing babies.
Yeah, kissing babies, shaking hands.
Sometimes shaking babies and kissing hands, that doesn't work as well.
It does not.
People frown on that.
That's when the authorities come in.
Anyway, we're just rambling now. So, hey, we had a good time, right?
We had fun here. We had joy. We had fun.
We learned a little something.
Yeah.
We learned about In the Heights.
The Heights. In the Heights. That's totally
The Heights. Right. In the Heights. That's the...
Lin-Manuel Miranda musical he did yes. before
yes.
Hamilton.
Yeah, I keep wanting to say In the Heights, though. Yeah.
Right. No, this is The Heights.
Oh, by the way, just remembered something.
What?
We had a Patreon comment.
Woo!
We were plugging the Patreon a little while ago. Wacky Notion Productions. You know, contributed to the Patreon and says, this is going back a few weeks, back to when we covered the first SNL UK episode. And they said, Markle is often looked down upon in the British press tabloids. So super producer Frank Blyway forwarded that comment to us. And he was like, I don't know what this means. And I was like, oh, yes, I remember what this means. It's about Meghan Markle. And there was a weekend update joke about her on SNL. This wasn't on SNL UK. This was like a week or two ago. There was a weekend update joke about her and Prince Harry. And I was confused by the premise of it.
Yeah, I think they were saying like the prince is being kidnapped by a U.S. terrorist or something like that. And it was Meghan Markle.
That was it. And I was like, why are we characterizing Meghan Markle as a terrorist? And yeah, so
because
it's a British press tabloid thing because they hate her.
Yes.
And apparently, and I believe I accidentally said William instead of Harry because I had a brain fart and I don't really follow the royals. So,
okay.
Yeah. So,
but thanks, Wacky Notion. That. Yeah. Thanks, Wacky Notion. Yeah. Thank you for that.
So thank you for the comment, Wacky Notion, about the thing that I barely remembered.
Grazie.
So, you know, next week, season finale of SNL, beloved former cast member Will Ferrell coming back. a freaking Beatle's going to be in the house. Come on. Paul what McCartney.
More you, what more do you people want? What the fuck?
I mean, I think he's going to play a Beatles song. Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, look, join us for that. We'll talk about that, maybe even some thoughts about the season overall, but we'll probably save that for the wrap-up show. We'll find out together. But until then, nerds out!
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.